Appreciate you being here. Pray that God is glorified in what we do. If you are visiting with us, one of the things we've been talking about this year is being lights in this world. It's the theme that we've chosen for us to focus on. So one Sunday per month, we devote one lesson to thinking about that. As Jesus has said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So how can we shine as lights in this world as Jesus has chosen us to be his lights? One of the best opportunities to shine our lights is to do that in the workplace. I want you to think for a second here how many hours you spend working during the week. How many hours do you spend with people in your workplace, whether that's remote or actually physically in the office somewhere or somewhere else? And you think about the time that you spend around people, particularly non-Christians in that environment. That can be overwhelming at times, you know, thinking, you know, I've got these hours and I'm a light here. Maybe I'm the only light that these people will ever see representing Christ. And that can be overwhelming. I don't want to blow this opportunity. It can be overwhelming, but it also can be encouraging. You are blessed, and you've got a privilege to be there at that place and to work around these people, these individuals, and to do your work for the Lord. So I want us to think this morning about what it means to be a light at work. Now, I just want to get this out in the open here. I think that there's a lot of you who could probably do a better job talking about this than I can, because it has been a while since I worked a job outside of preaching. And so I've got very little personal experience to draw from in giving this lesson. I have had an opportunity to touch base with a number of you, and you have been gracious enough to share some experiences and things that you've learned, some challenges you're going through with me. And so some of what I'll say is based upon those experiences. But most importantly, I want to turn to the Word of God and see what the Word of God has to say for some principles and make applications of what we see Jesus teaching us in his word. So when you think about shining Christ's light, what we're really talking about is evangelism and how we can let the gospel be seen in our lives. And when I think about that responsibility, I think our responsibilities break down into two categories. First of all, to visualize the gospel, that is to make Jesus known, make Jesus seen by who we are. And thus visualize the gospel. And then secondly, to vocalize the gospel, that is, make Jesus seen in what we say. And so I want us to think about this topic, and particularly related to our jobs and how we work, how we can visualize Christ and how we can vocalize Christ. And there's a really fundamental principle to this whole lesson that's found here in Titus chapter 2, and that is the principle that character builds credibility. In Titus chapter 2, Titus is being told, here are the things that you're to teach and you're to preach to people across the age spectrum. He begins with older men, then turns to older women, then to younger women, and to younger men like Titus himself. And there's a fundamental principle that everything that they do needs to rest upon this idea of building credibility for the Lord. Read with me beginning in verse 1. "But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love and perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds, with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bond slaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. In three verses there, Paul hits on this point of what you do and how you live builds credibility for the gospel of Christ. And at the end of verse 5, live this way so that the word of God will not be dishonored. In verse 8, be sound in speech so that the opponent will have nothing bad to say about it. They'll have no reason to slander us. And in verse 10, live this way so that the doctrine of God will be adorned or made beautiful. And what is that doctrine? But the very doctrine that he goes on to describe in verses 11 and following about how the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to us. The point I want us to see here is that our conduct affects the credibility, not just of you and me personally, but it affects, in the eyes of the world, the credibility of Jesus himself. You think about that responsibility to be a light in the world. Your personal credibility at your workplace is connected to how your coworkers, your managers, those under you are going to see Christ himself. And so what are some areas in which we need to visualize Christ's credibility to the world around us? Think about our work ethic. I appreciated Scott beginning our service this morning by reading Colossians chapter 3, very relevant to our discussion this morning. Paul is writing to this church, instructing slaves about how they are to do their work, even though none of us are slaves here. There's an important principle that we can take about how we work. Let me remind you of what it says. Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And so, do we give 100% of ourselves to our work? When people see you, do they see that you are a diligent worker, that you're an honest worker, that you're a faithful worker? A good work ethic, understand, is not unique to Christians. There may be some people in your work who work harder than you, maybe work more hours than you. And so just being a good worker isn't necessarily unique to Christians, but what is unique is our motive for doing that. Our motive is that we're serving the Lord. In verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Your work ethic is not just for a promotion. It's not just for a bonus. It's not just to please men, but rather it's because of who you are. Your identity is a follower, a servant of Jesus Christ. So that bleeds into the way that you work. Let how you work reflect that your first priority is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider also how our respect for others, particularly those who are above us, and how that can affect our credibility for the Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul writes, all who are under the yoke as slaves are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. So we have a responsibility as Christians to serve well those who are over us, to respect and honor those who are over us. But there's an interesting point made in verse 2. He says, those who have believers as their masters must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren, but must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit are believers and beloved. Teach and preach these principles. Is it easier, or imagine for a minute, would it be easier for you to serve a boss who is a Christian or who is not a Christian? I know some of you are probably in that situation. Ideally, it would be easier for us to serve under a Christian because they'd be more faithful, they'd be more respectful to us, they'd be more easy to get along with and more trustworthy and more reasonable. But Paul says that sometimes that's not always the case. I think he's hitting on a principle in verse 2 that, you know, maybe a slave would look at his master and say, well, he's a Christian and I'm a Christian, and so why do I need to submit to him? We're all the same in the Lord's eyes. The point Paul is making is that those distinctions of boss or servant or slave or master don't just disappear because we are Christians. The point he's making is that we have a natural tendency to look for reasons to not honor those above us. We tend to look for excuses to not honor them. Maybe they're your family. Or maybe personalities differ. Or maybe they are just hard to get along. Maybe they're hard to serve and hard to honor. And Paul makes the point that our respect for those above us isn't dependent upon their personality or even their how easy they are to get along. And so we need to show respect for those above us. But I think we also need to show respect to those who are our inferiors. Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 addresses masters in this matter, and he says to them, "Grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." So maybe you are in a position of leadership at work. Maybe you are the one who's in charge. How do you treat those below you? Do you treat them with fairness and justice? Do you treat them with the same kind of respect that you would treat them if they were above you? Respect for others is key. Another key is how we speak. Is our speech honorable? We're not going to read all of these verses here on the screen, but in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, one of the key principles of our speech needs to be honesty. "Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you to his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Are you honest? If you say you're going to do something, if you commit to something, do you see that through? Do you follow through with your commitments? Are you truthful about everything, even whenever you don't get everything right? Are you truthful about that? He goes on to say in verse 29, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it may give grace to those who hear." When there's a situation that's challenging to work through, maybe you're working with someone who is difficult to get along with, how do you speak to them? Do you speak unwholesome words to them, or do you speak words of grace? Whenever there's a stressful project that you're having to go through, in verse 31, how do you handle that? "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Do you let these principles rule in the way that you handle challenges in your workplace? In chapter 5, in verse 3, he addresses immorality not just in our conduct, but in our words. "Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." When the world talks like the world is going to talk, do you participate in that? Or do you refuse that kind of talk? And so one of the first thing that people are going to notice about you is how you speak and how you interact with them. And this is going to either have a good impact on your credibility for the Lord, or it's going to bring down your credibility for the Lord. And even though it's not in these verses here, I want to mention a point about complaining and even gossiping. Those are ways in which we can really dim our light as Christians. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing." Do you grumble about the work that you're doing? Do you grumble about those who you're working around? Do you complain? Do you dispute? Do you gossip around others, about others? In verse 15, "Don't do these things, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." Your character, your conduct, and your speech is going to pinpoint you as a light in this world. And we're not here just talking about speaking about Jesus or teaching about Jesus. We're just talking about how you live your life as a Christian in the workplace. And so how you conduct yourself. But think about also just the joy and the peace that should radiate from you as a Christian. If there are two qualities that are very rare in this world, it is these two. The world is filled with anxiety, it's filled with stress, and the workplace is no different. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 4, Paul tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men." There's something different about you as a Christian. In all the stress and all of the turmoil in the world, you have a hope that extends beyond that. You have a perspective that most in the world does not. And when you're able to see past what's going on in the world, that's going to make you stand out. It's going to give you an opportunity, as Peter says, to give an answer for the hope that is in you. You have a hope as a Christian, and you can have joy as a Christian that is going to make you stand out as a light in this world. And so, thinking about these different areas, people will know who you are based upon your work and based upon your speech and your conduct in the workplace. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "You will know them by their fruits." And in that context, he's talking about false prophets, but the principle certainly applies here. It's not just about us seeing the fruit of other people in the world. People are going to see my fruit. People are going to see your fruit. And so consider that. Think about in the Old Testament, two of the best examples of faith in difficult times and in difficult situations are Joseph and Daniel. And both of those men were known not just for their faith, but for their diligence and their integrity at work. Joseph was known, and even when he was sold as a slave, he rose to second in command because of his faith in God and his diligence. And Daniel rose because of God's blessing, certainly, but he also rose because of his faithfulness in work. And also, as we see those two men, how did the world respond to those two men? Well, they responded in two ways. The world respected some of their integrity and their diligence. That's why they rose to power. But the world also came to hate them, or at least some in the world. Remember what happened to Joseph? His brothers hated him initially. And Potiphar's wife, whenever he refused to sleep with her, she tore him down because of her hatred. And Daniel, boy, he was blackmailed. He was basically put in a situation where he had to choose between, am I going to pray as I always have, or am I going to serve the king? Am I going to fulfill his commands? And the world is going to either respect your light or it's going to despise your light, but it doesn't change your light. It doesn't change who you are as a Christian. And so visualize the light by making Jesus known who you are. But I think secondly, once we have built that credibility, there's a responsibility to vocalize Jesus, make Jesus known by what we say. I think this is the more challenging of these two. We can visualize by just living our lives right, but it's a challenge to vocalize our faith sometimes. There are numerous challenges we face in the workplace, particularly. You might work in a place where your speech is highly regulated. There are things that you cannot talk about, and that prevents open conversation. You might be working around people who have biases against you, and who think that as a Christian, you're automatically pegged as hateful or a bigot or something like that. And people misjudge you because of that. I know a lot of you work remotely now, pre-COVID, after COVID, and that certainly presents some challenges to building relationships, makes that harder. And certainly these are barriers. These are some barriers you have shared with me. But I want to encourage you and let you know that your light can still shine, not just in visualizing your faith, but in vocalizing your faith despite those barriers. No matter how dark the world is, your light will still shine as a Christian. A couple of you have shared how you have overcome some of those barriers. For example, working in a place where your speech is highly regulated, there are topics that are just, you can't mention. But that doesn't stop your ability to get to know people and to reach out to people and build relationships with people that will lead to those conversations that may naturally come up later. And if you're working remotely, even just your work, you know, that you do, that you send through an email or something, even that is going to shine through if you are a Christian. And so I want us to see that your light will shine, your light will radiate somehow. The point that Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 5 is you can't put out the light of Christians. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." You can't douse the light of Christians. If this is who you are, it's going to come out somehow. It's going to shine somewhere, some way or another. What's important to you and what you do with your time it's going to come up in conversation, isn't it? And those are opportunities where you can then vocalize who you are and what is important to you. And imagine that this is like, you know, you're fishing and you just throw in a line and you just sit and wait. Sometimes you'll get a bite and sometimes you won't. Sometimes people will notice that and file that away. Sometimes they won't. But you throw out the line anyway. And so consider that your light is going to shine somehow. Let people learn about you. But also, I would say that you need to learn about people. Learn about those who are around you. Take a genuine interest in who people are. Be genuinely curious about them. And I put on the screen here Matthew chapter 16. This is one of a number of passages I'll reference here in this point. And the reason for that is because of how Jesus interacted with people. One of the things we were talking about recently is, in our Bible classes, is what are we to do when we're put in a difficult situation, and what do we say, and how do we know what to say? And one of the thoughts that I had in response to that was, sometimes we don't really know what to say. We don't know the perfect thing to say, but you know who did? Jesus always knew the perfect thing to say in every situation. Now, of course, Jesus is Jesus, and we're not. But there's something we can learn from him. And one of the things that stands out to me about how Jesus interacted with people is he often asked questions of people to get to know them, but more than that, to get them to think. Ask questions like Jesus. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples a question, and he asked them, what do people say that the Son of Man is? Or who did people say that the Son of Man is? Then he asked them a follow-up question, who do you say that I am? I'm not suggesting this is always a good question to start out with in a conversation. But the point is, ask questions about people. What do you believe? What do you think? That's one of the questions Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 21 and a few other passages. What do you think? And then he would go on to tell a parable or something like that. Ask open-ended questions. What do you believe we should do in this scenario here? Maybe you're working on a project together and you've got two choices, and one is a little bit ethically shady, the other one is the morally right choice. What do you think we should do right here? What do you say? Or have you thought about this? Ask questions of people. It's a non-confrontational way to get people to think and to learn about people, and maybe that can lead to further conversations. Just consider that. Sometimes, as we vocalize our faith in Jesus, it helps to ask questions versus just declaring and making declarations of what we believe. Because a lot of people that we talk to don't really know what they believe and why they believe that. And so asking questions can help that. Take a genuine interest in people. Another thing to consider is that as people, and this is not just about the workplace, this is a principle that applies elsewhere, but we need to be filling up daily on the Word of God so we have something to share with others. Paul describes Christians as vessels in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 21, he says, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. So imagine yourself as a vessel. A bowl or a pitcher or a cup or something like that, whatever vessel you choose. You can't pour out what you haven't poured in. And so we have to fill our minds and fill our lives and fill our hearts with the Word of God so that maybe we are placed in a situation where there's an opportunity to share that. And if it's in our minds and if it's in our hearts, we'll be able to share that. If we haven't filled our minds, then we won't have anything to share. So he says we are to be prepared for every good work. How can we be prepared for every good work if we're not filling our minds with Scripture? 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. If we fill our hearts and our minds with Scripture, then we'll be prepared. So maybe you begin your day, if you have time and opportunity, by reading Scripture or meditating on it throughout the day. Or maybe your break at work or some other opportunity. The point is to fill up daily with the Word of God. And it's not just about calling out sin. A lot of times when we think about being lights in the world, we think about only just speaking out whenever sin is being celebrated. That may need to happen sometimes, but it goes beyond that. It goes to pointing people to the one that heals them through the Word and pointing to the great physician. So fill your mind with the Word of God daily. And while we're in 2 Timothy, I think there's another principle to take to heart. And that is that we need to choose our conversations carefully. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23, Paul says, "Refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels." Have you ever been tempted to get involved in a quarrel at work? A situation where there's just contention and there's opinions being voiced, and it's really just not a helpful conversation. It's not just a matter of there's gossip going on or there's filthy jokes, but it's just not a helpful conversation, whether it's about religion or politics or whatever it is. Choose our conversations carefully. We were talking earlier about our credibility. If we choose our conversations carefully, that will help our credibility, because if there are some conversations you choose to withdraw from, then whenever you do choose to jump in, it's going to make a difference. Don't get involved in quarrels. Some conversations and some topics are just so pre-polluted with emotions and opinions and prejudices that it's just not very helpful. And so choose your conversations carefully. Now, of course, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't take risks in talking about difficult things, even whenever there's differences or controversy. It doesn't mean that we don't defend truth, but it does mean we remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. "Don't cast your pearls before swine, because they'll trample them underfoot and then turn on you." So choose conversations carefully. As we learn to vocalize, I think ultimately we need to learn to pray. We can learn to rest upon the power of God, to trust in His ability to help us, to put us in situations where we have opportunities, and to open those doors for us. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been in prison." And so pray. Pray throughout the day. Pray at the beginning of the day. Pray at the end of the day. Pray constantly. Of course, this is not just about working, but pray especially about your work. Pray that you will be a light for Christ. Pray that your work will reflect His glory. Pray that your words will come across in the way that you intend. Pray that your words will reflect accurately the Word of God. Pray for wisdom and pray for opportunities. So thank you for letting me share with you some thoughts today. I hope that these will help you as you think about your particular situation, as you be a light for the world. Would you please pray with me this morning? Our Father in heaven, we come to you at the conclusion of this sermon to thank you for our work. Thank you that you have blessed us with opportunities to support our families, to support ourselves. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities that presents to us. We ask for your help to be who you have called us to be, to visualize for the world what it means to be a Christian. Help us when we fail. Forgive us when we fail. We also pray, Lord, that you will help us say what we can say in the right way, with truth and love, to vocalize the light, to point people to the great healer, to point people to your word. Father, we pray that our light, wherever we shine it, in the workplace, at home, in the world, even in this building, that our lights will always be a reflection of your glory, not ours, so that people will see you and glorify you because of our works. We pray all this to your glory. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a Christian this morning, we're going to conclude with an opportunity for you to become one. If there's something we can help you as a Christian with, if we can pray with you, if we can encourage you in some way, why don't you come to the front? Let that be known as we stand and as we sing.